Where are you going, ladies?
And welcome to the Sound of Football podcast, back for an eighth season. Yes, an eighth season. Oh, well, I'm excited, aren't you, Terry?
Yep, very excited.
Yep. Eight seasons. And Jan?
Oh, very excited.
Yes, those are the voices of Terry DeFellin and Jan Bilton. Of course, they're always with me here on the podcast. If you've never listened to the podcast before, we'll be here every week for the next 10 months, giving you half an hour of chat about things about football. Is that about sums it up?
It's about right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the easiest way to describe this, isn't it?
I was excited, and then you said, for the next 10 months. And yeah. I just went,
and then you said every
oh.
week.
Yeah.
Every week.
It does sound like a bit of a commitment.
We need to put a kind of asterisks by those, don't we?
It may not
be every week.
May not be
10 months.
Yeah.
It may not always be about football.
Indeed, yeah. Yes, and may not be all three of us.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but anyway,
because you're going off on holiday for 2 weeks, aren't you?
I am.
Yes. Yeah. Well done, yeah. So what we thought is, because it's the season start, we're going to start off with a nice, easy way to come back into it, haven't we, really? So all we're going to do is we're just going to look forward to the season ahead and sort of pick out what we were looking forward to, what we're going to be keeping an eye on, and, you know, what we're really dreading, because, you know, it's got to be said that football always chucks up these things.
Football is suffering.
It is suffering, isn't it? As I say, if you've not listened to the podcast before, thank you for listening, because we know there's a wealth of podcasts out there that you could be listening to, and not just football ones. Apparently, they do them about everything these days.
There's loads out there.
Yeah, you listen to loads of them, don't you?
I listen to a bit of loads, but you listen to loads of different variety of stuff.
A bit of loads.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff. There's some very good stuff from across the pond.
Yeah, they seem to be all over it. You know why? Because they haven't got Radio 4 over there. So
they haven't.
They have to make their own.
And they're very, very long. They like go on for 3 or 4 hours. Some of
them. Oh God, there's that history one, isn't there? It goes on forever. It's history in itself, isn't it?
it's because it's a big country. They have all those long commutes.
Yeah, that's probably
over here, you know, our average commute is about 45 minutes.
Yeah,
and after that, people are going, "Come on, get on with it," you know, because they've got other podcasts they want to listen to.
They have, yeah.
I tend to balk at podcasts that go on for say an hour and a half. I think, nah. I'm not going to listen to that. Some of the Star Trek podcasts I've listened to in the past go on for that long.
Yeah.
You think, God.
I bet they go on longer than the episode they're actually talking about, don't they?
Oh, well, I mean, if you're talking about 90 minutes, then yes, inevitably. Yeah. There tend to be themes and topics, you know.
Wow.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you can listen for that long. I mean, I don't know how you can actually physically listen to anything for that long. I can't listen to
anything. Well, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to do in one sitting.
Yeah, but it's a podcast. It's just a bunch of white guys talking shit. I mean, how much of that can you listen to?
And you know what?
Loads.
That could probably be the best description of this podcast, really.
That could be like a subtitle, couldn't it?
It could, really, yeah. So the season has already started. We've already got the Premier League underway. The Championship was underway a week earlier than that. There's even European football underway.
As we speak.
Yeah, people have already been knocked out.
Well, pretty much.
Wow. Jan, you had the big news, though, didn't you, to start off your season? The mess that was the Euros was just settling down, and then all of a sudden your team lost their manager.
I know. I was looking forward to a new season with a manager that kind of really knew what he was doing. He was really into it seemed like he really wanted to be manager of the club, and I thought that he was going to attract some really good players. And then he went and left.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to Sam. You know, he was going to a job that he'd wanted to do for a very, very long time. And I think probably his time of life, it's probably something that he wants to do while he's still got the energy and the desire, really. So, but it did leave us in a real difficult situation, because we were trying to recruit and strengthen the team for the upcoming campaign. And then, obviously, everything had to go on hold. And David Moyes came in, and you know, he had a couple of weeks before the season started, really. So it was a bit difficult. So we've struggled to bring in any new faces, obviously, because everyone was trying to work out what was going on.
What, are you happy with Moyes there? Do you think he was a good choice?
Yeah, very happy.
Yeah.
And apparently we'd been trying to get him a lot in the past, but I think so. I think that Sam going in there's maybe raised the profile of that job, of the Sunderland job, I mean to say, where, you know, I think everyone had been seeing it, or if you were a manager, you wouldn't be, or you would be forgiven for thinking it was a bit of a, I mean, I hate using the phrase poison chalice, but, you know, you would, yeah. I mean, there'd been so many managers there.
Yeah.
And it'd been such a scrap every season. It's not the kind of thing you probably want to go to.
Well, so. I think I heard a stat that it was saying that it's been five seasons since he's had a manager, the same manager started the season and ended the season.
There's only five seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, so I think you've probably got good chances this campaign.
I think we've got a really good chance. I think it was a really bold move. I think to get someone like David Moyes in, probably took a lot of persuading, and there was probably a lot of reassurances put in there. And he splashed the cash a little bit there. I mean, he's brought in McNair and Love from Manchester United. I mean, he's gone back to Manchester United.
He's got Januzaj, isn't he?
He's got Januzaj, who's come in. And of course, Moyes gave him his debut against Sunderland, actually. And he scored two goals against Sunderland.
It's all a web, isn't it?
It's indeed a web. Yeah.
Intricate.
Actually, there's a lot of crossover between us and Manchester United, and there has been for years. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to do really well. We brought in a player that spent some time at Werder Bremen that Terry might be able to tell you a little bit more about. I might struggle to pronounce his name. Debogi. Debogi. Terry, am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's Gilabogi. Gilabogi. He's a Chelsea. Well, was a Chelsea player. He's now a Sunderland player because he signed for something like just shy of £10 million.
It was a lot of money. Yeah.
So a lot of money. He went to Werder Bremen last season for half a season and helped them a lot in their troubles. And they had a lot of troubles last season, and he was a big help to them. I imagine that they'll be quite disappointed that they weren't able to get him, but I would imagine that probably he was on quite biggish Premier League wages he's definitely an asset for Sunderland, no question.
I saw actually the day he signed for Sunderland that Werder put a post out and there with their English language handle wishing him the best, because I think he scored a goal that kept them up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was good to see him come along, and I hope that we'll get Mvila back because we had him on loan from Rubin Kazan last season. He's got 4 months left on his contract. Ruben wants £6 million for him, and he's got four months left.
Oh, right.
So Sunderland are just going, that's all right, we'll just wait 4 months.
Yeah.
So,
it can be our Christmas present. Yeah.
So,
do you want it for your birthday or do you want it for
Christmas? So it's, not the strongest bargaining position they're in.
No. But
I think we'll do really well this season. We've got some, if we can hold on to Kone, who's has been trying to his best to get transferred to Everton, but that looks like it's died a death. I hope he apparently was promised a new contract if they stayed up. He's only been with us 6 months. Bought him for £4 million, and Everton want to sign him now for £25 million, which is a lot of money. He's a beast and a real aerial threat. So hopefully we'll hold on to him.
Mm.
And Cabral as well is strong at the back. Kirchhoff when he's fit. And Villa, when he comes back, of course, the amazing Lee Catamol as well will keep everyone terrified when they come at us. And Defoe showing again that he's still a class act and he can still do it at the highest level when he scored against City. So I'm very optimistic for this season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about Everton making big money raids, they came to Palace, didn't they?
They did, and they signed Yannick Bolasie as well, which I'm sort of disappointed about because he was great for us.
Yeah.
He wasn't perhaps as productive as perhaps he could have been. I think in many respects Townsend is a bit of an upgrade actually on Bolasie in terms of productivity.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, he's a guy that you just don't want to lose. You don't really want to lose a player of that kind of quality under any circumstances, particularly since we seem to be having problems bringing players in. And we had that little flurry at the beginning of the close season where we got Mandanda and we got Townsend and we got Tompkins. And it looked like we were going to be getting some business done early doors and get the squad settled. But actually, you know, we're going into the season and we're not quite finished. And then to lose a player is disconcerting, to say the least. I mean, all right, fair enough, we've got Townsend, so, I mean, he's a winger for a winger. You could say that we've done that as a fairly straight-ish swap, but it is disappointing. But Everton look like they're getting a project together there,
yeah.
And it's very exciting for him. So from a objective point of view, it's a great move for him, and he's a great lad, and he's worked hard, and he's had to come down through the lower ranks and come back up again to the top. So I certainly don't begrudge him, you know, his opportunity to play for a you know, a traditionally much bigger club that seems to be have come into some money and some new impetus and new ambition. So I wish him well. I hope he's a success.
What about Pardew? What are you actually expecting from him this season?
Well, I don't think that Pardew did a very good job in the second half of the season. I don't think he coped very well with the injuries that we had. I'm not sure that he's the kind of guy who can cope with changes in circumstances. I think the cup final really rescued his reputation. I mean, we could easily have been relegated. And so I'm nervous going into this season for that reason. I mean, if we can get a good start, then, you know, I'll be less nervous. If we can get Benteke... Which seems amazing to think that we could get a player like Benteke, but I mean, this is the world we live in now. You know, with fourth year in the Premier League, so you know, I mean, with the TV money in, Palace are one of the richest clubs in the world now. So yes, I mean, they go for a player like that, and maybe we should just pay for him. And if we can get him in, then I'll feel an awful lot better about Palace's aspirations. But no, I'm afraid I'm not convinced by Alan Pardew at all. And I and given that we've All right, we do lose to Tony Pulis teams, but if that turns out, we've got Tottenham at the weekend. You know, I mean, we could be a while before the next win comes along, and I wouldn't be surprised if we had a change in manager and we had a bit of a crisis season. It's our fourth season up; we've never been five in the top flight, so it's quite a big season, I think, and that will, I think, that'll be felt in the around the ground. I think the supporters will be aware of that particular historical note. And we'll be anxious to try and break the record and try and stay in the top flight for a fifth season. Not to mention the new owners who have big ambitions. So it's they're always important seasons, but it is another important high pressure season for Palace, which could be difficult.
You know, if you're looking for a goal scorer, you could always go to Sunderland, because there's a good track record of goal scorers coming from Sunderland.
We always sign very effective goal scorers from Sunderland at reasonable prices as well.
I think we charge very reasonable prices. So,
yeah, I've always meant to thank you for that.
Well, of course, Arsenal have famously not been spending money. We thought they were going to spend some money because they went out big on Xhaka, didn't they? But that seemed to be it. And now they're busily raiding Europe to see if they can find a fit centre-half.
Yeah. Arsene Wenger after the game were saying that the players, you know, weren't ready. A number of players just weren't fit enough to play or weren't ready to play.
Yeah,
which I find that extraordinary.
It does seem quite extraordinary when you're looking. Well, most of the other teams had their Euro stars playing for them.
Yeah,
they're all showing out for their teams, and yet our ones are still in their flip flops.
You've always defended Arsene Wenger,
yeah,
and I imagine you will continue to do so. But I do wonder. Can you envisage a time when he's no longer at the club in, you know, the shorter term?
Not in the short term.
No.
I can't see that. I can't see that. I do wonder whether or not this whole, like, holding players back was a way to try and go the directors into giving him some more money.
But would he not have all the money that he wants? Does he need to do that?
I don't know. I mean, there's so much going around, so many stories going around about the fact that there's £125 million floating around the club or something. It does seem to be that every target doesn't seem to end with anything.
Graham Souness on Super Sunday on Sunday said that Arsenal's problem was that they ran themselves as a business rather than a football club, and that they were more concerned with maintaining a healthy profit margin rather than necessarily doing, you know, what it takes to go for the car, so to speak, try and win the title.
Yeah.
They're happy just to go going along as they are. Perhaps you know, perhaps that's the problem. It should be Bayern Munich in terms of finances. Arsenal. I mean, they've got their own stadium, which they've paid off. It's a modern stadium. Yeah. They've got pots of money, which is theirs, no one else's. You know, they really ought to be inheriting the earth by now. It is a surprise that they're not more competitive than they are. They say that they've got less money. They're not as big as Manchester United, but they have an enormous amount of money. It seems, anyway, there. It surprises me.
Yeah, I would say if they're running that club like a business, I think they're balancing that very, very well with the football, considering the success they've had over the years. You know, I mean, we've talked about this before. They consistently qualify for the Champions League. They've won a couple of trophies in the last few years, and they've got some seriously good players. I mean, they've got world class players playing for them. I think they'll continue to do well.
I think it's a bit of a lazy analogy to Fasunis to make about running it as a football club or a business, because they're all run as businesses. Yeah. There's no two ways about it. Mm. But I think, you know, we are coming after a period. We're not in the same period where Chelsea and City were losing money just to get to a position. They're now being run more like businesses. Where the fact is that the money is being far more targeted, and it's true when everyone's rich, you can't just outspend everyone, because you end up with, well, people like Man United having to go and spend, how much did they spend on Pogba?
£90 million. It was just shy.
£90 million on a player they got rid of.
Yeah, for £1.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah, and not batting an eyelid. And the fact is that no one's batting an eyelid about it, which is ridiculous. Mm. It is. This is, I suppose, the big thing that has happened at the start of this season. We ended up with last season where everything was meant to be changing, where we had Leicester coming through.
Mm.
Surprises coming out. Say, right, it doesn't matter how much money you spend. You can win the title without spending big. You can spend if you go and find the right players, and if you train them right, if you prepare them right, and you can go and take on big teams. And big teams that have got all the big managers can be floundering mid-table. And yet, the start of this season, with all the new money coming in, we're just showing back. This is going the same old narrative over and over again. It's like, you know, oh, there's far too much money. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's obscene the amount of money that's going on in football at the moment. And that's from within football, not from outside of football. Outside of football, they've always thought we've got too much money. I don't know. What do you think about the whole narrative at the moment with regard to money?
Leicester won it last season at the end of the old agreement, the old TV rights.
Yeah.
And now there is so much money sloshing around. I think it's just relative to the amount of money there is. I don't think that anybody involved in football would have looked at this transfer window and thought that it wasn't going to be massively inflated, considering there was, what was it, £4.5 billion the TV rights went for. I mean, Manchester City, I was just making some notes before I came here, they spent £165 million on four players, effectively. And I thought that was a lot of money until I looked at Manchester United, and they spent nearly two-thirds of that on one player.
Yeah.
So actually, you might think that Manchester City, and it's very easy to target them because they are so, so wealthy. But Manchester United, I think, are being forced to play catch-up. You know, a bit of bad business on with Pogba there. But some really good business with Ibrahimovic, who they got for nothing. Although they're going to have to pay huge fees, huge wages for him, rather. So, you know, there's... I think it is lazy to say it's disgusting the amount of money it's going around, because there is so much money coming into it, and then you would have the players or the staff or the fans would be complaining that, you know, we've got all this investment, what are you doing with it? It's got to get spent. It's got to find its way around. You know,
it's an old argument, for an age old argument from fans about lack of investment in players. It's always been, where does the money go?
Yeah,
where's the money gone?
Yeah.
Where's the money gone? And I mean, even back in the days when most of the money that was coming through for football clubs was through the turnstiles, and there'd be accusations that, you know, they were skimming off the top of the proceeds, they weren't declaring the full, you know, the full attendances, so that they could.
Back when fans felt it was their money still.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and I suppose because actually it would have been their money, wouldn't it? Because it would have been money through the turnstile.
Yeah.
Which would have taken up so much of the club's income. But there's always been that argument that, you know, you get all this money coming in, but you don't buy players. And you know, if the money is going to continue to mount up through TV and sponsorship and gate receipts as well, clubs wouldn't be building these big stadiums if they didn't think that they could make lots and lots of money out of them. So they obviously are still very much a big part of a club's income. You know, I mean, if the TV deals keep going up, then the money's just going to go up. The money on transfers is going to go up accordingly. And I mean, if that's I guess that's how it should be. I'm not quite sure what else would you do with the money, you know, apart from, you know, use it to subsidise ticket prices.
What a ridiculous system.
Well, I think it's an interesting point though, because I think if you look at it, the more money clubs get from TV and from sponsorship and from basically non-match day revenue, the less say supporters have, the match going supporters have when about the running of their club, because they've got no leverage. Arsenal, they've got precious little leverage anyway, because they know that, you know, that if they said, well, fine, I'm not going to renew my season ticket, they know there's a queue 20 years long for people to take that ticket off them.
Bigger clubs also work hard, whether or not this is a political thing or just merely a commercial thing, and I suspect actually it's the latter, to recognise that, you know, when you're in a league that has global interest and is shown, is beamed to, you know, television screens all over the planet, that they have fans now all over the planet. I mean, even Crystal Palace have got fans all over the planet now, you know, and they are working to see them as being as an essential part of the club's fan base as the people who turn up.
Which
I don't know, I mean, you know, some people might consider that to be, you know, wrong, and that actually it should be the fans who turn up in the stadium to who should get, you know, are not preferential treatment, but should be, are of greater value, shall we say.
The real fans.
The real fans. But there's any number of reasons why people can't turn up to watch their football club, and it's not just geography, you know, economy and ability, physical ability as well. So it's fair enough that they go, well, you know, these guys over there in Atlanta who are tweeting and going mad and buying merchandise for our club, and they're turning up at our pre-season friendlies and supporting us and spending lots and lots of money. I mean, they deserve as much respect as the you know, the season ticket holder who turns up, you know, every week. And, you know, and especially when you're, you know, if you try to commodify that and turn it into money, then of course you do. So, you know, and that in turn leads to more revenue, because the TV companies pick up on it and they say, well, we want to pay more money to screen these matches, because there's a passionate audience for it.
Yeah. There's a model there, isn't it, that Manchester United and Real Madrid and all of the big European clubs have followed. That, you know, they're all chasing the same dollar, aren't they?
And there's, well, it's not only them, it's the New York Yankees. It's
Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
Our club, Palace is owned by the same guy who owns his Philadelphia 76ers. We went to play Philadelphia Union in a pre-season friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, even Palace are in on it.
Yeah,
and that's Palace.
Yeah. Well, that's it though. But if you're eating at the table of the super rich, then you know you can play their games, can't you?
Yeah.
That's what we've got to look forward to this season. Lots and lots of talk about money, more money.
Yeah.
But look what it's attracted, though. Look at the managers that we've got now.
In the Premier League.
Well, yeah. I mean, brilliant players. Don't get me wrong. But
and we still have Leicester winning the title.
Well, we did last season. I don't think we're going to see that again.
No,
I think that the rival clubs were all in a bit of transition. The big clubs were in some kind of transition for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And Leicester took advantage.
Yeah.
Put in an absolute blinding season. Didn't give up. I mean, it's still an amazing achievement by Leicester.
Yeah.
Because, you know, really by that measure, Spurs should have won the title, because, you know, they're the bigger team with the bigger squad and, you know, arguably probably the stronger team, and they should have gone through and claimed it. But in fact, it wasn't. It was a, you know, perennial, at best, mid-table first division club that won it, which makes it, doesn't take it away from Leicester's amazing achievement.
I think when we look back on it, it will come down to
to Leicester beating Tottenham in that sort of in that playoff in the running, really. It was just to really bring it down there, because afterwards, I mean, Tottenham thought, and Leicester
kicked on. They thought, right, we've got this, so let's go.
All right. So this season, then, do we have any new season resolutions? Are we going to be following some obscure leagues? Are we going to be doing something weird? Jan, are you going to be trying something? Are you going to do a fantasy team all the way through the season?
Well, I'm. I'd like to say yes.
How long have you managed to get a keep a fantasy? You do this quite often, don't you? Keep a fantasy league going throughout the whole season.
Well, I've done it. Well, not with my back into it.
I kind of ease
off towards the end of the season.
Towards the end of September.
No, we got a big one with 70 players in it. In it at work. So I've got an incentive to do that.
That's a big league, isn't it?
It is big. We're a big company now.
Forever to read out the results.
But I think because Newcastle are in the Championship, I will keep an eye on that. I was half expecting them to... I still think they'll do very well. I think I was expecting them to have it all wrapped up by Christmas. Of course, the first two games, that hasn't happened at all.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Raffolution, as they're calling it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'll keep an eye on that. And it's interesting as well, because Villa are down there, and be good to see what happens there.
Mm. Yeah, I resolved to keep an eye on the Championship, although how long that lasts, I don't know. I do watch a lot of football as it is, so watching extra football, that might be really difficult.
Are you going to be pulling back on it on anything this season? Like, is that, look, less of the third division German league?
Yeah, I may watch a little bit less of the regional league in Germany. No, I'm not actually planning on ramping back on any of it. I did actually come this close to cancelling my Sky Sports subscription for this year, so I was all set to, but I had
I must admit, I was like looking around internet for looking about how I could get BeIN Sports, but no, I didn't really, because I realised it would be illegal.
Yeah, obviously. Of course, then you realise it would be illegal until you stopped immediately.
So I stopped myself immediately.
Yes.
But apparently on the internet you can find out how to do it. But you don't do it.
But you wouldn't want to do that because it's illegal and wrong.
Yes.
It's
not only and Sky need all our money.
They do, those poor sods at Sky.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm really interested in the Championship because of the two teams that have gone, the two big teams, I should say, that have been relegated. I think Villa may have, although they had a bad start, I don't know, I thought they were leading when we were going into this game. And,
I think they were,
And they won at the weekend as well, albeit against Rotherham. And I'm curious to see how Roberto Di Matteo works out there, because I don't have a great deal of time for him as a manager, and I was surprised that he got the gig. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on.
Mm.
And of course, Newcastle down there, great story. And I've been interested, again, this is the German Dortmund collection to an extent. David Wagner, the guy who took over at Huddersfield last season, looks to have put together a tidy team and have had a decent start so far. Although, again, I think they were actually losing to Villa before we came in here. But that looks like it could be. Could be the kind of dark horses. I think there's value in the Championship, I'd like to watch a bit more of that. But now we'll see what unfolds over the course of the season. You try and have new habits, don't you? When football starts, but eventually you do settle back into your old
That's why we call them new season resolutions.
Indeed,
because they're so great in that first week of January. But,
how about you?
I don't know. I was thinking I must watch at least one Championship game this season.
Before the Premier League season starts.
Not really. I think I watch enough football. I've been quite honest with myself, and I thought, no, don't set yourself anything really. Just go there and watch what you want to watch.
Absolutely. What about the Premier League then? Who do you fancy for the title? Have you seen everyone yet? Yeah, there's only been one round of fixtures, so I don't know. You obviously probably haven't. All of you haven't seen everything. Have you seen Chelsea yet? Did you watch the Chelsea game on Monday?
No, I was watching Olympics.
You were watching Olympics. I watched that Chelsea game. You weren't watching. I know you were. I was watching that Chelsea game, and I mean, they look. They were all right. They won it in the last-ish minute.
Yeah.
But they look like they're going to be tough, muddy funsters this season.
Yeah.
And I thought actually United looked unusually focused.
Yes.
Although I don't think, and not as necessarily as compact as they could be when Mourinho has finished with them.
Yeah.
But they looked quite focused.
They look good actually. I watched that game and I thought against a good looking Bournemouth side as well.
Yeah.
Who were no mugs.
Yeah.
And they had at them.
They did.
Yeah.
So. They've got a kind of swagger about them again, haven't they? And obviously that probably comes from the manager and having Ibra there as well. I think that they're going to be definitely one to watch this season.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Liverpool look like Liverpool have always looked.
They look awesome and hilarious in equal measure.
Yes. They are the most bipolar team in the league.
Yeah,
they really are.
Yeah.
They all the time that they play Mourinho at the back. They're going to concede loads.
Yeah, I mean, that was really bizarre. I don't understand. I mean, obviously, you know, you're not there in the training pitch, so you don't know what it is. But, I mean, they signed Matip, who is a centre-half, but he has played full-back. I would argue that he would have done a better job. Well, arguably anybody would have done, but certainly Matip, I think, would have done a better job as a makeshift full-back. But, I mean, Mourinho apparently was brilliant at Sevilla. And it's since he's come to Liverpool that it's all gone a bit off the rails. So maybe Klopp has faith that he'll turn it around and needs to give him game time to work out any confidence issues he might have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny, but it's also really sad for the guy because he was a good player and he's obviously having going through a rough patch. So I have a degree of sympathy for him and I kind of wish him well because after having that kind of a startless season.
Sure. Mm. I think as well, though, is that if Liverpool are going to concentrate on the good side of their game, they're going to have to find someone who can turn games around who isn't Coutinho. Because Coutinho had that purple patch in the middle of that game and he was utterly incredible. But, I mean, he was coming through the middle and he was going up against Holding. I don't think he's going to get as much change out of other centre-halves this season as he got against Holding. It would be tough to be critical of Holding on his first proper game for the club, but the free kick that he gave away for their equaliser, a bit more of a savvy centre half is not going to make that mistake, I don't think.
No,
it was cute play from it. It was technically a free kick. Though. I mean, I've seen lots of people trying to say, "Oh, it was never a free kick," but it was. If you didn't get that given for your own club, you'd be up in arms.
No, of course you would.
And of course, the execution was fantastic. But for the other goals, you know, he was found wanting. But against the more organised side, Coutinho isn't going to find that level of play. And of course, you can't rely on amazing goals to win you games.
No.
And they had amazing goals.
They are short. But I mean they're built from the back, haven't they? They're building from the back. They've got Clevin and they've got Matip and they've got Karius as well, who's got a broken hand, which is why he didn't play. But I mean I mean Clevin is an interesting signing because he was at Augsburg beforehand. He's Estonian, 29. Very much a late bloomer. But he could be a player who takes full advantage of the opportunity that's been given him.
Mm.
And he may actually go on to be a bit of a star.
How about Leicester? Did you see those at the weekend?
I didn't see that game.
No.
I didn't, but I mean, Kante obviously went for so much money to Chelsea. Yeah. They haven't really replaced him, from what I can see.
No.
And obviously he was, you know, him and Drinkwater, obviously, in front of the defenders, were keeping a lot of people at bay, so... I don't know. I don't think they're going to be as successful as they were. Everyone knows their game plan now, though, don't they?
Yeah.
Try and play without the ball. So, it looks like, it's one game, so what do I know? But,
I think you're a long way to go. Right. I think that's I think it would be really massively optimistic to even see them finishing top four, to be honest with you. I really hope they don't get relegated, because, I mean, that would just be awful. But, I mean, I think they will drop. I think they could drop.
Yeah.
They could drop.
Because, especially with Champions League distraction as well.
Big.
And the quality of all the other players that have come in and all the other teams. I mean, they've really upped their games. And Leicester haven't really invested. And you're right, they've got more games
to play.
They've
got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And Man City?
I did watch the best part of that game with Sunderland. And I enjoyed the commentary because he inverted his fullbacks, and it was
with cliche and he just sat there and
sat there and it was a lot of, I mean, I don't remember him doing that often at Bayern, so I'm not acting like some kind of hipster, like, oh well, you know, Pep, but I mean, it is a kind of Pep thing to do. He is an ideologue, you know. He just wants to impose vision of football on the game. I mean, there's nothing pragmatic about Guardiola. He just wants them to play in a certain way.
He was basically playing the WM, I think.
I was sitting there thinking, I'm not clever enough to work this out.
It was an M.
Reaching for me inverting the pyramids. Is he trying to bring it back to the 19th century? Is that what maybe it is an homage to English football?
It was an homage.
I'm gonna win in the Chapman styling. But I mean, Guardiola would make his players play on one leg if he thought he could, just to prove that it could be done. I mean, that's the kind of coach that he is. And that's why it's going to be brilliant to have him there. Whether or not, you know, they'll get round to winning the title or not, I don't know. But I mean, but in fairness, I mean, in parts of that game, they looked pretty menacing and pretty efficient. But I thought that Sunderland reacted really, really well in that. And, you know, so they are, for the time being, pretty vulnerable, but I again, I don't think they're fully up to speed yet.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Lack of familiarity with his new style of play probably flattered Sunderland.
One last final note before we wrap up. Whose car park is Joe Hart going to be snapped in on transfer deadline day?
I think he might go abroad.
You think he might go abroad? Mm. Do you think he'll go to China? Be on the same plane as Wayne Rooney.
Wait, are you making a joke about Wayne Rooney, right? Or you haven't heard? Or have I missed something?
Well, no.
But I mean, because there's speculation about that. It's like, well, Ibra, Rooney, is that going to work? And Ibra's just going to score every game.
Yeah,
because he is. He's going to score every game, and because
that's making a mockery of the best league in the world.
Like, the French league. Yeah, well, he scored 80 goals in the French league. Yeah, but the French league. But he's scoring now. I don't know. I mean, will he play for England? Will he be picked for England?
Well, if he's not playing first team football, how could he?
I don't know. I think Allardyce has got a contrary streak in him. I think that there's depth to Joe Hart as a person, and I think that he is going to fight tooth and nail to get his place back is what is going to happen.
Good. Mm. Right. Well, that's our preview of the season ahead. You know, it may not be as comprehensive as others you may hear, but I think from the position we're in, I think that's as good as it's going to get, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you didn't even talk about the Bundesliga. Yeah.
I know,
for once.
Which is a good, glad that you mentioned the Bundesliga, actually, Graham, because if I can take a quick moment to plug the fact that I am committed to another season doing the Bundesbag Bundesliga newsletter, which is a weekly Bundesliga newsletter, which comes out early in this. So you can subscribe to that, tinyletter.com/Bundesbag. So
I'm going to put a link
that would be wonderful if you were to subscribe to that, because I am going to do that for another season. I am denied about it over the course of this close season, but I have committed to doing another one. If you subscribe now, you'll be just in time for the two-part season preview.
We don't have to resubscribe again, do we?
Not if you've already subscribed, no.
Wonderful.
Great. And on that wonderful, positive note, I think it's time we brought this podcast to a close. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry Fellon, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
So, not Stoke City then, no?
No.
No. Not Swansea, no.
There's a wasp in here.
Oh my God, there's a wasp in here.
See, I know, that's why we had to end it quick.
Not Watford. Either.
Ooh!
That's an angry wasp.
That's a hornet.
If that was a hornet, I wouldn't be in here because they're massive, aren't they, hornets?
They are massive.
Not as big as jungle, of course.
But, no.
No.